Well, I'm going to start a brand new series this morning, and the name of the series is Koinonia, Koinonia. They're going to work on a graphic for next week. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship. Everyone say fellowship. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the ninth verse, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The NLT says, he has invited us into partnership with his Son. The Amplified says, by him you were called into companionship and participation with his Son. Now notice with me, he has called us. That word call there means he's called aloud. He's given us a glorious invitation into a divine visitation. As I was getting ready this morning, these words came up in my heart. All I have made everything clear. You know, the Bible says, draw near to him, and what will happen? He will draw near to you. So he has made the way clear. Now let us come forth without hesitation and without fear to the throne of grace and enjoy this glorious fellowship. Enjoy this glorious koinonia that he has made available to each and every one of his children. Koinonia, again, fellowship, communion, participation, sharing or partnership. It speaks of an intimate relationship. It speaks of communion with him. And we know this, that when we come to him, he will not cast us out. He will not turn us away. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18, it denotes here that he's waiting on us. It says, for this reason, the Lord is waiting to show his favor to you so he can show you his marvelous love. He waits to be gracious to you. Isn't that good news? Woo, glory to God. He sits on his throne ready to show mercy to you. Yahweh is the Lord of justice, faithful to keep his promises. So overwhelmed with bliss are we all who entwine our hearts in him, waiting for him and waiting for him to help us. Amen? So there's that word, entwine. That has to do with communion. That has to do with partnership. And so we see then that this is a picture of him waiting for a response from us. And this is very clear in the book of Revelation in the third chapter. He was writing to the church of Laodicea, who had left their first love, and they had kind of gotten lukewarm. And the Lord was giving them a holy invitation so that they could repent and turn back to their first works. Now, this holy visitation that we're about to read doesn't just have to do with the church in general. It has to do with each and every one of us individually.
That's right.
So in the book of Revelation, in the third chapter, in the 20th verse, notice with me, now this is from the New King James Version. It says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. So we see the picture of Jesus on the outside, knocking on the door, trying to get in. What does it reveal to us? It reveals to us the grace and patience of the Master. He initiates this. He waits on us. He desires your fellowship. He said, now notice, if anyone will hear my voice and open the door. Aren't you glad this invitation is personal? It's not just for a chosen few. It's not just for those who've been walking with the Lord for decades. It's for anyone who has called upon the name of the Lord. It's personal. Amen. And so Jesus is knocking on the door and he's calling. But notice this with me. The door must be open from the inside, which denotes to us a personal, voluntary reception of our free will. We're saying, Jesus, come on in. Master, come on in. Let us dine together. Let us sup together. Let us have intimacy and great fellowship with one another. Now, the word dine there, or the word sup, is a very interesting word in the Greek. It's deipnon. It's deipnon. And this meal he's talking about is not just a snack. It's not just a casual meal that you have from time to time. This meal means the main evening meal, often the most significant and leisurely meal of the day. Now, in its cultural context, in the Greek and in the Roman culture, in that tradition, this meal, this deipnon, was associated with fellowship. It was associated with relationship building. Amen. It was associated with intimacy and unhurried time together. It was literally a covenant meal. So what does this say to us? Jesus is not just offering a transaction to us or a brief visit. He's offering deep relational fellowship. It's an invitation to intimacy. It's an invitation to communion. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. That makes me happy. And I want to read to you the last part of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18, part B in the Amplified. This is our response to this invitation. Notice with me. In the Amplified version of Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. Let's begin where it says, blessed, happy, and merciful. Amen. Let's keep going. Read it together. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him. Amen. For his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. Don't break your fellowship with him by living according to this world system. There is so much in God that we have yet to see. There is so much in him that we have yet to know. There are things that the Spirit of the Lord wants to reveal to you about your life. There are things that the Holy Ghost wants to reveal to you about his plan and his purpose for your life. But we will never access those things by living according to the flesh or by thinking carnally. You see, the Word of the Lord says, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded. What does a person who has a spiritual mind do? They fellowship with the Lord. They don't break that companionship. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Folks, we're living in the last of the last days. And we do not have time to waste feeding on the spirit of this age. Amen. Let me just ask you, how's that been working for you? It doesn't work. It doesn't produce life. It doesn't produce peace. It doesn't produce joy. But oh, thank God, one taste of the Lord coming boldly to his throne, glory to God, produces everything and anything that you will ever need now and in the world to come. Woo, glory to God. I just get excited about it. I think about that unbroken companionship. Woo, glory to God. And I look at Psalms 8 in verse 3 and 4. And I love how he says this in the Amplified. He says, when I view and I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained and established. Notice with me in verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of earthborn that you care for him. Next verse. Yet you have made him but a little lower than God or heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and with honor. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Just a little lower than angels. Just a little lower than God. And the Bible says that he has crowned us with what? He's crowned you with glory, and he's crowned you with honor. Amen. Crowned with glory and honor. That word crowned there means encircled. He's crowned us with glory. He's embracing us with his presence. He's crowned us with honor. Think about it for a moment. You have the ability on a daily basis to experience his presence.
Amen.
You have the ability on a daily basis to experience glory and honor.
Amen.
There's nothing like it in this world. There's nothing that comes close to his glory in you and on you and among you family. Amen. Glory to God. Shout with me. I've been crowned.
I've been crowned.
I've been crowned with glory.
I've been crowned with glory.
And I've been crowned with the honor of God. We do not have to find honor from man. We do not have to get glory from man. God has given us his glory. God has given us his honor. And it will only increase as you increase your fellowship with him. Glory to God. It's just like walking through the door of a brand new world, of a brand new life. Now, I want you to go back to verse 3 and 4 with me, if you will. You know, when you know your place in his heart, it will be easy for you to step into fellowship with him.
Amen.
Notice again in verse 4, actually. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him. You know, that just kind of jumped out at me, that you care for him. I love that. Did you know that the Father cares for you? And he cares for us so much that he does not want us to have or carry any of the cares of this world. How many of you last week have had the opportunity to take the cares of this world? That's about three honest ones. No, the cares of this age, the cares of this world, they knock on the door of our soul every day of our lives. Amen? Now, just because cares come doesn't mean we have to take them.
Amen.
Just because we may feel fear doesn't mean we need to have to yield to fear. Amen? So don't get bummed out about the fact that you've faced some tests and some trials and some cares. But do this. Cast all your cares, all your anxieties, all your concern, all of your fear upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Woo, glory to God. What is man that you are mindful of him? He has the highest divine regard for you.
Amen.
He values you and he values me. His value in our lives was purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're going to receive communion in a little bit. Say it with me. He cares for me.
He
watches over me.
He
looks after me. The message says, what are mortals anyway that you bother with them, that you even give them the time of day? You see, our value is not based on what we do for him. Our value is based on who we are to him. I'm going to say that again. Our value is not based on what we do for him, but it is rather based on who, come on, somebody. who we are to Him. And this is what came into my spirit for the rest of this message. Who we are to Him. It's important that we know who we are to Him. For if we do not know who we are to Him, there will always be this sense of insecurity. There will always be this sense of inferiority, which will do what? Which will keep us out of fellowship. Amen? Brother Copeland said many years ago, if you sin and miss it, don't run from God. But do what? Run to God. Amen. Run to Him and obtain mercy. Run to Him and obtain forgiveness. Don't let condemnation, don't let insecurities keep you out of this dining and fellowship with Him. But you need to know who you are to Him. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to know who you are to Him. You see, knowing who we are to Him, it deepens our koinonia. It deepens our fellowship. It moves us into a place of intimacy out of insecurity. I like that, don't you? Glory to God. So who are we to Him? Number one, we are His special treasure. Say with me, I am His special. I'm His special treasure. Well, where's that in the Word? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're a Word church. We believe in giving people the Word. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, look at this. Are you ready to shout? He said, for you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be His own. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Woo, glory to God. He's chosen you to be His own. His own what? You can do better than that. His own what? Amen. His own special, special treasure. Amen. 1 Peter 2:9 says it this way, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into what? Now, don't let that word peculiar throw you. In the world, the word peculiar means odd. But in the Greek, it doesn't mean odd. Do you want to know what it means? It means a purchased possession. A special acquisition or a treasured possession. You need to look at yourself the way that God looks at you. So what does this mean then to us? This means that we are not random, but we are chosen and we're set apart by God. Glory to God. You are valuable not because of what you do, but because of who you are and whose you are. Oh, get this down in your spirit. This will help you come to Him. This will help you with your koinonia. The end of the verse in the NLT says it this way, and I'll quote it, as a result now, you can show others the goodness of God. The Passion says at the end, he said, He did this so you would broadcast His glorious wonders throughout the whole world. We got any broadcasters in the house today? Amen. Now, in the Message translation, I want you to read with me. This is really good. In the Message translation of 1 Peter 2:9-10, it says, let's read together. but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do His work and to speak out for Him, to tell others of the night and day difference He's made for you. Let's read on. From nothing to something. Woo! Glory to God. From rejected
to accepted.
Night and day difference. From nothing
to something.
From no one to somebody. Glory to God. From the rejected to the accepted. Hallelujah. You are His beloved. And He is yours. And His banner for will ever be over all of our lives is love. Ephesians 1:6 bears it out. We're no longer rejected. We are the accepted and the beloved. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. Ooh, glory. I'm getting happier the longer I preach. Glory to God. I hope this is helping you today. You got to know who you are to Him. You've got to know who you are in Him. You need to discover it and embrace it and talk about it all day long. Glory to God. Who are we to Him? Well, I tell you one thing. He sees you as His jewels. How many of you ladies love jewelry? How many of you guys don't mind a nice watch or a nice ring? Well, that can't compare to the way God sees you. He sees you as His jewels. In the book of Malachi. Malachi might have been Italian. I don't know. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17, New King James Version. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Notice with me, he says, they shall be mine. We are His. This speaks of His possessively and affectionately wanting His covenant to be revealed and unveiled in our thinking. You're His jewels. And it echoes Exodus 3, 19 and 5. Look at this verse. Can you still read a little bit more? We're doing really good. It's only 11:07. Ready, read. Now, if you obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. Special treasure. On that day, I will make them my jewels. Now, that word jewels is a very interesting word. And I think I can pronounce it. It means segula, segula. I'll make them my segula. Now, what does segula mean? It means personal treasure. It means valued possession. And it means privately kept as the treasure of a king. Now, listen very carefully. In ancient times, kings had public wealth. And that public wealth was for the kingdom. But kings also had personal treasures kept in their chambers. Amen. This word describes to deeply personal a prize collection. So what is this saying to us? God is saying to us this morning, you are not just part of my kingdom. You are my most prized possession. Amen. You're not random. You are not replaceable. Woo, glory to God. You're cherished. You're chosen. And you are valuable. And so what happens then when we get this understanding is fellowship flourishes when we know that we're treasured. Let's just lift up our hands right now. And let's just draw nigh to the Lord. The Bible says, come close to me and I will come close to you. Glory to God. Just out of your heart, just begin to praise him a little bit. Worship him. Just tell the Lord how much you love him. Oh, we worship you this morning. Glory to God. Saturate these in this house with your glory and with your presence, Lord. Crown each and every one of them. Lord, cause sickness and disease to be removed out of their bodies. Cause discouragement and depression to be removed out of their souls in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for that cleansing that comes through the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him a little bit more. Glory to God. Just say glory to God several times. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. What are we looking at today? We're looking at, briefly this morning, who we are to him. Can we do just a couple more?
Yes.
Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk therein. The NLT says we're his masterpiece. The Amplified says we are his handiwork. Say of me, I am.
His workmanship.
The word workmanship in the Greek is poema, which comes from the word poem. It means we are his masterpiece, carefully crafted and created for his divine purpose. This means you're not random. You are an intentional creation from the master craftsman of the entire universe. Glory to God. You think of Michelangelo. Michelangelo was sculpting David. Think about a master composer writing a symphony. You see, Michelangelo didn't produce a mass amount of Davids. No, he didn't. David was one of one by the master craftsman. And good news, God did not mass produce us either. Hallelujah. He handcrafted us with detail. Personally gifted for a divine purpose. Glory to God. I heard Keith Moore preach a message a long time ago. We are one of one. You are one of one. Glory to God. Point to yourself and say, I am. His masterpiece. And I am one of one. Glory to God. Who are we to him? Well, we're his dwelling place. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 talks about that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Who are we to him? We're his inheritance. Ephesians 1 talks about that we are part of his wonderful inheritance. You see, we have an inheritance, right? You think about Colossians chapter 1. It says, give thanks to the Father which hath made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So as a saint in God's kingdom, you have an inheritance. Can anyone tell me what part of your inheritance is? I'm looking for some hands. What's part of your inheritance? Anybody know? Other than Brenda? What's that?
Salvation itself.
Paul? Praise the Lord. The souls in heaven that we affect down here. Amen. Raul, what's part of your inheritance?
The nations.
Glory to God. Now there we go. He said, I will give unto you the nations for your inheritance. Oh, I like that one. Glory to God. Who else? What's part of your inheritance? Yes.
Divine healing and divine health.
Divine healing and divine health. Who else? What's your inheritance include? Sister, go ahead. Eternity with God. Amen. Joy and peace. Here we go. Hey, we're on a roll now. So this inheritance is vast. And we are partakers of this glorious, this wonderful inheritance. You're heirs of God. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all that the Father has is mine. Well, guess what? We are His and He is ours. We're in Him, so we can declare all that the Father has is ours. Amen. What an inheritance. What a mighty God we serve. Woo, glory to God. I feel like camping there just for a moment. Have you activated what's been bought and paid for you? Have you tapped into your inheritance? For an inheritance that is not accessed does you no good. If you have been left an inheritance of, say, $100,000 by a relative or someone, you still got to go and access that inheritance. You still need to draw on the inheritance that has been left you. For if you do not draw on it, it will do you no good. And there are too many Christians. They sing about the goodness of God. They sing about what they have in Christ. But they haven't consistently, appropriately partaken of all that's been provided. He's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And I say to you by the word of the Lord, don't leave anything on the table. Amen. Come to the table and take and access everything that He has put on the table for you. It is your inheritance. And it is your inheritance for the here and for the now. Yes, there's an inheritance in heaven, but we ain't there yet. We're living in the nasty now and now. We need to come to the table and eat, and we need to boldly declare our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Partake of. Partaking. Partaking. Partaking with your faith. Partaking by laying hold of all those things that He so graciously is offering to us. Amen. Say it with me, I have an inheritance. Glory to God.
Amen.
Someone said, the greatest inheritance we have is salvation. Well, have you tapped into it yet? Have you accessed this salvation that He has so freely given? The way that you tap in and partake of the inheritance of salvation is by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ died for your sins and He was raised from the dead for your justification.
Hallelujah.
And that inviting Him into your heart.
Yes.
So all that to say this, we have an inheritance.
Yeah, we do. Amen.
I think we need to say it a couple more times. We have.
Yeah.
I have. An inheritance.
Glory to God.
Ooh, glory to God.
Amen.
We've inherited the name of Jesus, Jimmy.
Yes, we have.
He said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you.
Yes,
we've got the name above every name.
Yes, we do.
That name belongs to us.
Yes.
Amen.
There's a song out right now called I Know a Name.
Yes.
How many of you know a name? What is that name?
Jesus.
Woo, glory to God. It is the name that is above every name.
Amen.
It is the name that is above anything and everything that would come against you. It is the name of authority. It is the name of dominion in His name. Woo, glory to God. Whatever you bind in this name will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in this name will be loosed in heaven. I have a name. So in your midnight hour, don't fall apart nor cower. but rise up in the name and speak the name in your midnight hour. And so shall his glory and so shall his power come upon you. And it shall even turn you into another man, and it will change the very circumstances that are around you. Amen. Amen. Say with me, I have an inheritance.
I have an inheritance.
His name
is
my inheritance.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The name in authority. The name in prayer. The name in dominion. Glory to God. Now, all that to say this, yes, we have an inheritance, but understand this, that God also has an inheritance in us. I don't know whether you've ever thought of it that way, but he does have an inheritance in you. Deuteronomy 32:9, and we don't need to look at it, says the Lord's portion is his people. The Lord's portion is his people. We could say it this way. You are the reward of his redemption. Glory to God. His inheritance is a redeemed family. We're part of his inheritance right here at Heart of the Bay. Think about it. We're part of his inheritance worldwide. Glory to God. His inheritance is a family full of love. Did you enjoy worship this morning?
Amen.
Worshiping together and fellowshipping with him forever and ever and ever and ever. That is part of his inheritance. You know what else is a part of his inheritance? Him getting the joy out of placing us in a position where we are carriers of his glory and carriers of his purpose. Listen very carefully. As his inheritance, God has placed his spirit in you. He has placed his spirit in you. He has placed his grace in you. He has put gifts on the inside of you. Woo, glory to God. He's put his image on the inside. So we are vessels of this glory, the ones through whom he will fulfill his purpose on the whole earth. So how does this affect Koinonia? When we grab hold of this, the more confidently we're going to draw near to him. Amen? In a moment or two, we're going to receive communion. But I want to close with Philemon verse 6. Y'all good? You still good? You still here?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Well, lift up your hands and say, glory.
Glory.
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
I haven't gone home yet.
Gone home yet.
We need to embrace these truths that we've heard. And you can just go down the list of who we are to him. There's much, much more. But notice with me in Philemon in verse 6. Would you read that with me? Ready, read. He says that the communication of your faith might become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Jerry Savelle years ago said it like this, that the communication of your faith may become divinely energized. Did you know that your faith can become divinely energized? How does that happen? By the acknowledging of every good thing. In other words, by the acknowledging of every good thing that we are to him. Amen?
Amen?
This is dealing with a full, precise recognition and deep and intimate knowledge. Amen?
Amen?
And Paul is saying this. Your faith will become powerful and effective when you fully and deeply recognize and affirm every good thing God has placed in you through your union with Christ. Woo, glory to God. Notice this word acknowledge. Everyone say acknowledge.
Acknowledge,
acknowledge is not saying, well, I know that it's there. Acknowledge means to confess, affirm, and walk in the revelation of what's already yours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Let's give the Lord praise today for what we've heard. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we acknowledge every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Are you ready to do that right now? How many of you want to do some acknowledging? Glory to God. Raise both hands toward heaven. Let's acknowledge this fact. I am your special treasure. I am your masterpiece. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am your beloved. I am accepted. I am a somebody. I am a someone. In Christ Jesus, I am your dwelling place. I have an inheritance, and I am part of your inheritance. So I boldly draw near this morning. I boldly come close to the throne of grace. Amen. How many of you this week are going to practice your koinonia? Yes. Practice your koinonia. Just turn to Him. Just turn to Him. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Draw near to Him. You know, you could be out walking, right? You could be out walking. And thoughts come to your mind about the day and different things. Just turn to Him. I turn away from that thought. I turn to you. I draw near to you. I set my affections on you. I take my affections and my minds off those things and I turn to you. I set them on you. Now, part of setting your affection on Him means setting your mind on His Word. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Well, I've preached myself happy today. I hope you have been helped as we introduce this series, Koinonia. Amen.